Before you get into this episode, I want to invite you to join me on May 1st for a free live workshop. It's called Feedback Fixer Upper, How to Reshape Poor Performance with Your Words. You can sign up at awesomeleader.com/monthly-workshop or go to awesomeleader.com and look for workshops. Again, this is May 1st. It's 9 in the morning Pacific, 12 Eastern. It's free. Join me, and I will now let you get to this episode of The Leadership Shot. So, does venting have a place at work? Is it productive? As a leader, should you encourage it or should you discourage venting? I think venting can be productive with some guidelines. You want to avoid fostering an environment where the venting you hear tends to focus on common refrains or complaints. Why is it so hard to get a promotion? Or how come I never get the recognition I deserve? Or how come the problems are all ones that fall in my lap? And at the same time, you want to create an environment where people feel they can be honest and blow off some steam. I'm going to talk about the good and the bad of venting. So, no complaining. Let's get started. I'm Lila Bullingtown. I'm an executive coach and the creator of Awesome Leader. I've coached founders, VPs, and C-suite executives worldwide for over 25 years. I make it easier for leaders to make decisions, guide their teams, have difficult conversations, have more fun in their roles. Yes, that's possible. I love what I do, and I love my clients. My number one passion is making it easier to lead and manage teams, no matter what your title is. In my online coaching and training programs, I create leadership ease through 15-minute lessons and weekly group coaching. In this podcast, you can experience some of that micro learning. This podcast is a weekly shot of tangible leadership advice. All episodes are just about 15 minutes. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. This is Lila Bullingtown. Welcome to another episode of The Leadership Shot. In this episode, I'm talking about venting. Unloading, getting it out, blowing off steam, quetching, ranting, getting it off your chest, whatever you call it. I think there's a good and a bad to venting. It can be a necessary and acceptable release valve for stress. It can be therapeutic. It's almost, again, like you're just like turning the valve and it's like, oh, all this pressure steam comes out. And there are some scenarios where controlled venting can boost productivity and really create a healthier work environment. At the same time, there are some really big potential pitfalls too. I'm going to start with the positive aspects of venting. First, I think venting helps us bond. It can be a bonding experience among colleagues. When you're frustrated, it's painful to sit in it by yourself. And let's be honest, it can feel really good to share frustrations with your peers. Especially, you know, if you're complaining to someone and the person's in front of you or on the phone and it's somebody you trust, you feel safe. It's almost like you feel very energized by getting something out. Especially if as you're speaking, they reply and say, yeah, I know, I get it, you're right. And all this makes you feel heard, it makes you feel listened to, you feel valid, and you tend to feel better. Venting also creates empathy. And that, though, assumes that the person you're venting towards wants to listen to you. Yet, come on, when you really need to vent, don't you tend to go to the people who give you what you want, right? You know, they're receptive. In a moment, I'm going to talk about if employees should go vent to their manager. So I'm definitely going to talk about that. So venting can also foster empathy, like I said, and a sense of solidarity, a sense of being together. So when it's done in moderation, it can strengthen a team. It can create a supportive environment where people feel understood and feel validated. Of course, used in moderation and the right setting, okay? And it can also help resolve conflict. So instead of letting resentment simmer under the surface, a controlled venting and respectful session can help people air their grievances in a constructive manner. The key words here are controlled and respectful. And you would have guidelines for people on what is acceptable to say. So ideally, if you want people to vent to solve conflict, I suggest you don't frame the meeting as a venting session. You can state the problem and the goal and ask people to participate and share honest ideas. For example, might say something like this. This Friday, I want us to meet and share our frustrations about the recent launch. I've heard from several people that they feel bitter about the last minute changes and that they're having trouble moving on from that disappointment. I want us to come together and talk about what happened. I want you to share honest thoughts, and it's going to be important to do so without attacking people in a personal way. That's key. You could view this as a venting session. Yet again, we're using respectful language. I don't want you to attack people's character. I want you to let out your feelings, see them, and then we as a team can decide what to do to move on and change how things go for the next launch. When you frame it in this way, when people have a situation like this where it's controlled, there are guidelines, it's respectful, it can help clear misunderstandings, and that helps build empathy and resolve conflict. But, and this is a big but, remember, you got to frame the discussion to moderate it. It can be tricky. You want to lay the groundwork for resolution. Another benefit of venting, again, it's an emotional release. It's stress relief. It can be an outlet for employees to release some pent-up frustration, preventing it from building up and impacting how they then carry it with them into other meetings, conversations, discussions, work, and also impacting their mental health. So sometimes simply expressing how you feel without looking for a solution, that's really kind of what venting is to me. Expressing how you feel without looking for a solution, that can be helpful. It's a sense of emotional relief and catharsis, right? It just allows us to acknowledge and process our feelings. I'm assuming that when you personally, as a leader, pick somebody to vent to, you're picking somebody you can trust. You're venting to your workplace best friend. They hear you, they listen, they accept it, and they lock it up. Before I move on to examples of when venting is unproductive, I want to come back to the idea of, should employees vent to their own managers? I'm a big believer in this. I'm a big believer in managers allowing, even inviting their employees to vent with them. It's better with you, not with others. Also, you can frame it so that you can say, hey, you coming to me to vent, blow off some steam, or do you want me to listen after you share ideas and then give you my thoughts? Okay, so I think I would much rather you have your employees vent to you and allow them to blow off some steam. And maybe from there, you'll be able to really help them think about different ways. It can turn into a coaching session. I always, with my own employees, used to say, is this venting or is this just like me listening as a sponge to let them know, hey, let me know what you need from me right now. Now, let me share when venting can veer into totally unproductive and toxic territory. Here's some scenarios I want you to watch out for. The first one is persistent negativity. Venting can quickly become toxic when it's habitual, when it dominates conversations. When you have someone who vents often, repeatedly, and focuses solely on negativity, it's toxic. It's poisoning to the people around them. And that constant complaining not only drains energy, but it also really stifles innovation and productivity because it's just kind of like everybody feeds off it. So as a leader, it's crucial that you change the behavior of this and you also don't allow conversations to continue in a negative way. You really want to steer conversations towards constructive solutions. Now, another way to see this negativity in this example, this imaginary person, is to see it as whining. There's no role for whining in the workplace. Absolutely not. It's unproductive, no matter who does it, why and when. And as a leader, you need to state to your team that this is not an acceptable behavior. I want you to be up front in one-on-one and group meetings that whining is destructive, wasteful, and quite honestly, lazy. I probably wouldn't say call it lazy to them, but I think it's lazy. It's so much easier to complain than to think about what to get done. And you want ideas and solutions, not complaints that generate a lot of how comes, why me, I never gets, things like that. I mean, never gets meaning like they say it many times. I know that I'm not conjugating that verb correctly there as an example. Anyway, constant negativity, you know, hands thrown up in the air. It's kind of like going back to the playground where somebody's just complaining. Now, if you see this, call people on it. People become whiners when they complain openly and often and nobody addresses the behaviors unproductive. As a leader, I want you to identify those whiners, call them on it, and tell them what to do or say instead. When you ignore whining, it spreads like wildfire. It's a hot, dry summer. Everyone begins to whine and it becomes the cool thing to do. This also means that if you have a team member who constantly vents, you have an opportunity, a need to coach them to recognize and change their behavior. So here are some ideas to work with that person. I want you to identify the words and phrases that peg that person as a whiner and what they can say instead. First, though, I want you to know if you can actually use the word whiner. I think it's appropriate. I just want you to know in your workplace, in your environment, in your relationship, if it's something that you can say, because people can see it as conveying that they're childish or a child and that would insult somebody. Yet at the same time, I think we all know what whining sounds like, what that behavior is like. So you could say something like, Lila, I want to point out how your thoughts are coming off as just complaints. When you say things like, how come you like her idea, you don't like any of mine? Or when you say, I never get the chance to go to a conference, I'm always stuck here. It tells me that you're unhappy. And if that's the case, I want to talk about it one-on-one. The way you're expressing yourself now, openly, with many people, and again, about the same things, and it's all complaints, to me, it labels you as somebody who merely complains. It's a little bit like you're whining. And this is a behavior I've observed a good deal the last few months. And I'm guessing you don't want to be like this. So let's talk about what you can do instead. Okay, back to some unproductive aspects of venting. It can often turn into gossip and rumors. So if it's uncontrolled, venting totally morphs into gossip. Complaining about the one thing a person did again and again turns into a personal attack, and soon people are gossiping, and then it's a rumor, and there goes the trust in your team. So that's where I want you to think about the overall behaviors of your team members. And you will probably have a sense now, as I ask you to think about them, who tends to sometimes complain too much and perhaps could create a scenario where harmless venting among a few people escalates to a group that gathers again and again, talks about the same things, the same people, and they feed their negative emotions. As a leader, you can strike a good balance when it comes to venting. You can set boundaries. You want to encourage open communication and expression of feelings, but also establish clear guidelines to prevent venting from spiraling into negativity or becoming personal. You can lead by example. As a leader, you can model healthy venting practices by offering support and listening without judgment. Overall, I don't want you, the leader, to vent to anybody else other than your best friend at work or in a limited way to your own manager. You will not be venting to your team. That is definitely a situation where you are eroding trust and you feel like it's a friendly thing, but it is definitely like a bad leadership behavior. I want you to focus on solutions. That's your job as a leader, to help people recognize the challenges and not always make it seem all fluffy and good, but like, what can we do to change this? And if you can set the stage that people can vent for a little while, or they can share their frustration, and then you can move the conversation to solutions, that really helps set the stage for people to be creative and feel supported and enthusiastic and emotionally supported, psychologically safe at the same time. Remember, you're doing this by setting boundaries and expectations around venting. And when you do that, it's an acceptable and useful tool. I think it helps build empathy, creates collaboration, it can resolve conflicts, and it then leads to stronger teams. Yet, it's careful handling by you to avoid the potential pitfalls of venting. All right, no more complaining. Get back to work. I'm Lila Bullingtown. Thanks for listening to The Leadership Shot. I'll talk to you again soon. Before you go, please hit subscribe or click to follow this podcast. This tells me that the content I'm sharing is helping you, your team, and your company. You'll also learn when the next episode drops. And if you'd like weekly emails from me with more tips on how to move your leadership towards awesome, visit awesomeleader.com/podcast. You'll receive notifications of free webinars and free resources. Also, if you want to learn how to bring the first and only online leadership program with lessons under 15 minutes to your teams, visit awesomeleader.com. You'll learn all about my online coaching and training programs. Thanks for listening to The Leadership Shot.